Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Monday. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Good Lord, do we have a lot to get into today. I hope we can fit it all. I really do. If we can't, that's why we're here all week. But just on, just looking at my paper of notes, ASU, when 2018 becomes 2019, or rather, when 2019 becomes 2018, you know what I mean. Talk about that loss. What the hell is happening in Michigan and Jim Harbaugh? That is a mess. Hey, how much longer are we going to play this game that Urban Meyer is not going to be the USC coach? Will we stop that anytime soon? Talk about that, too, as well. Guess who went back to school? Daniel Jones. Well, I tell you, I want to take back everything I said about him. Clear back to the top. Man, he's proving everybody wrong. Saquon out 4 to 8 weeks. Jalen Ramsey was too sick to come to work today. He's just too sick. He just couldn't make it. He had a case of anal glaucoma. Look, we got so much more we're going to get into. We're going to do all that right here on the Cave Show. With PLR, we're brought to you, of course, by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School in Channel Heights. Get in there. Let them know that PLR sent you. They will take care of you. Tune you up to 10% off your cigar purchase. Become a club member. Get a locker that backs directly up to a humidor. You never have to worry about your sticks going bad. That is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Now serving beer and wine. They will have the game on tonight, so go check it out. Bears versus Washington. We definitely will get into that game as well today. And they have the NFL league ticket. They have the baseball ticket. They show college games all the time. It is a place to go. It is a place to watch games. Again, it's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Channel Heights, 4991 South Alma School. Let them know PLR sent you. 10% off your cigar purchase. And don't forget, every Thursday, it's cigars with the Cave Show. And that is at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. All right, let's jump right in this. We got so much happening today. The one, the only, Earl Burnett, casual. Sports Radio Network's very own founder will be joining us, talking sports, talking cards with us. Might try to sneak in a quick ASU question. We're only going to have him for a little bit of time. He's calling in at 10 minutes after the hour. Cuba Cowboys in town today. He was over at ASU today. So he's going to fill us in on what they were talking about. So there's so much. Like I said, this show is jam-packed. So look, let's just hop right in. Let's just get right to it. I tease it, so I'll start with it. As they say in the business, I'll pay the tease off first. I said, guess who's back in school? And nope. I do not mean Rodney Dangerfield. Antonio Brown has re-enrolled in school at Central Michigan. Over the weekend, AB decided that he would call everybody out. Everybody was going to come get some of these insults. Everybody. Nobody was off limits. Called out Shannon Sharp. Called out Ben Roethlisberger. Called out Robert Kraft. Everybody was going to come get some of these. It's been everybody's fault. Everybody's fault. Pittsburgh didn't know what they had. Talent-wise, they knew what they had. I guess the headache wasn't worth the talent. I've said before, they won't miss them Monday through Thursday. Excuse me, but they'll miss them on Sunday. They are missing them Sunday. But, oh, my goodness. Dude is a lot. Now he's saying he'll never play football again. He's re-enrolled at Central Michigan. He tweeted out his classes. And if you look at the date of the classes were technically before when he enrolled. I believe it was technically before he got cut. He knew it. He enrolled in four classes. So I don't know if the NFL is done for him. I know the NFL is done for him this year. No one wants to touch AB this year. But you are out of your mind if you don't think somewhere out there there's not a GM thinking they just didn't handle it right. I can do it. There is a GM in the NFL that's out there saying I can handle it right. Or there's a GM out there in the NFL saying I really don't give a crap. We need to win. So if dancing with the devil is what we got to do to win, then hell, someone start the music. And it's always like that. It's not just the NFL. It's the NBA. It's Major League Baseball. There is always someone out there willing to take a headache if it means they can get some wins. And it's really just that. I mean, it's really just that. But AB, and I said this the other day, and I was talking to a friend of mine that does sports as well, and I said, he needs to take this year and needs to concentrate on AB and getting AB right. He needs to figure out what he needs to do to make himself a better version of himself. Ooh, I sound like a movie. And the other thing he needs to do, he needs that friend, that truth friend. We all have a truth friend. I'll never forget one of my best friend in the world, who unfortunately has passed, used to be my truth friend. I could call up, I could ask him a question. And he was just telling me the truth. If I was doing something that I wanted to know if I should keep doing or whatever, he just told me the truth. And everybody needs that truth friend. He doesn't have a friend that just says, stop being a dumbass. He doesn't have a truth friend. And we all need a truth friend. Right when you're about to do something that you know damn well you shouldn't do, you got that buddy that says, hey, man, that's stupid. Sometimes you have truth friends that you won't even ask if you think it's a good idea to do something because you know they're going to tell you that's dumb. And just because you know they'll tell you it's dumb, you don't do it because it's dumb. And we all know that. And that's why you got to have one of those friends. And AB don't have one of those. He has crapped on just about every situation. And until he completely looks at himself and says, what do I need to do? When he gets a call, and he's going to get a call from another NFL team, he's got to go with his humble voice. And his actions over the last few months or the last few weeks are going to have to show that that humble voice has met those humble actions. If I were AB, in all honesty, you wouldn't even know where I was. I wouldn't even be on Twitter. I wouldn't even be on Instagram. I wouldn't be on any social media. You enrolled in school? Go do school. I wouldn't feel it was everyone's need to know exactly what the hell I was doing, because that's what got you in trouble to begin with. Just go do you, man. And then think about it. If AB just goes to school, goes to class, doesn't say anything, doesn't get on social media, works out, does his thing, finds his true inner self, when the spring comes, people will call him because they will not have seen him. They will not have heard from him. The key is, and I'm going to say this like I would say it if I'm talking to a friend, because y'all are all my friends, and if he stays on social media and he does all that and all he does is go to school and go home, his ignorant ass will be employed next year. On the Kerry Lackey Law Line right now, my man, the one, the only Casual Sports Network himself, the founder, the man that makes it happen. He's everywhere in this valley, and he is a Cardinals guy. It's my dude, the one, the only, Earl Burnett. Earl, what's happening? Welcome to the Cave Show.
Hello, Paul. How you doing? What you doing, an intervention for AB?
Man, I'm trying to do something, man. I'm trying. Somebody got to help him out. Somebody got to tell him the truth. You know, we all, everybody got, every in everybody circle, there's the one person that tells you the truth. And so,
right.
You know, like, man, I ought to call them and see what they say. And then there's sometimes, you know, you're going to do something so dumb that you say, no, I ain't going to call them because they're going to say it's stupid. And then you say, all right, you know what, that means I better not do it. He ain't got no one like that. So I'm trying to let him know. Yo, man.
I just kind of caught the last of what you were saying. I was like, what did this dude try to have a come to me moment for AC? I'm like, oh, man. Hey, but you said something, though, about if he gets his stuff together and goes fly straight, he'll be cool. But guess what, though? That ain't going to matter either. Guess what? If them charges don't come up on him, he's going to get picked up by somebody no matter what he's doing.
And it's crazy. Sometimes someone has
it
to
is.
Tell you no.
It's sad. Somebody,
you know,
the Raiders, somebody like the Raiders will give him another chance. Somebody stupid would be like, okay, he didn't get convicted, so he'll be back in the league. Don't trust me.
He
ain't going to turn down that money.
He will. He'll be back in the league, or someone will tell him it's a make good contract. He won't take. He just
right.
needs to go to school. Go to school, man, do your thing, get off social media. And then, and you know that humble voice? Getting this humble voice when someone offers him a job? Yeah, no, I've been off social media. I'm good. I'm reformed. But as I said, right when you were coming on, it's ignorant, and I said ignorant, not ignorant.
Yeah, it's a difference.
Have to be able to do that.
Yeah, there's a difference. Ignorance is just unlearned. Ignorant is just stupid. But what else is going down with you, man? I know you got me in here for Cardinals stuff, and that's already another day's story in itself, but.
All right.
What's going on?
Now, we talked before the season started, and you tried to talk me off this ledge, and you almost had me. I even mentioned in another show, I said that Earl almost had me, but this team can't play no defense, bruh. And watching
right.
what I saw yesterday, there's two things that stood out to me. One, they can't play defense, and two, they have no desire to run the ball consistently, to give a rookie quarterback just a little bit of breathing space and not be running all game. I don't get that.
Yeah. I feel almost slightly the same way with the running game, because I think they were starting to do it yesterday. I really do. I think they were on their way to continue to give David the ball, because he was running pretty good yesterday. He was running like David, at least. He was the had an intention to hurt somebody yesterday. He had intention to put his head down and just barrel over somebody yesterday. So I think if they had stayed in the game, at you know, in the fourth quarter around that time, he would have been getting a lot more carries. But you're right about the defense, man. The part that really gets to me about the defense is you knew coming into the game that they had two people that could beat you, and you did nothing. You did nothing special, nothing scheme-wise to stop those two people. So that points to our defensive coordinator. That points to a rookie coach that was supposed to take over that game and say, hey, hold up, we need to make some type of adjustment. This is killing us. And the rookie coach couldn't do it because the veteran defensive coordinator, who had been a coach himself, kept those reins and did not let the coach take over those things. But he didn't know how to do that. Coming in there without a game plan tells me a whole lot. This kind of felt to me a little bit like last year's Mike McCoy. When I saw that defense playing the way they played, I said, oh, my goodness, we got another Mike McCoy on our hands on the defensive side. And the only reason he's getting the pass right now is because the first two games the defense did keep us in games. But to not be prepared, I don't even put this on the players, to come in that game and not be prepared against that tight end and that running back, that you know that's all they had. All they had was those two guys. You did nothing to stop those two, and then they made the backup quarterback look like Peyton Manning. So that's my whole gripe over this whole thing. I mean, I look at the whole thing as a whole. I look at the Carters. I go, you look, I expected this up and down stuff. This I'm not worried about. And I got some idiot on social media talking about we need to get rid of Kyler Murray and make him the backup and draft another. Now we got the stupid people coming out. Look,
yeah,
we're fine.
Yeah,
we're fine. We are fine. Offensively, I'm telling you, they played well enough. Not perfectly and not the best they could. Offensively, they played well enough to win that game. If the defense shows up and gets three stops in that game, that's a different ball game. And so they commenced to let the Panthers just score after score after score after score. I mean, we were up 7-0. They tied at 7. Then they went up 14. After they tied at 7, they had six straight drives scored on, and our defense could not stop them. All because we didn't come in prepared to stop the tight end and to stop the running back. I don't understand how could you spend a whole week and not know you got to put something over. And DJ Swearinger just ate up out there. You made no adjustment to help him out. Did you see a blitz at all, man? Tell me if you saw a blitz.
I did not. Oh, I don't recall one. Let me say it like that.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's my point. They did not do anything coming in there. Because you know why they didn't do anything? They sat back knowing, oh, the offense is going to be better this week, so we'll be fine. We'll be in the game shooting it out with these guys. And they did nothing. They did nothing over the course of a whole week of practice defensively to have that defense ready to play. That points to your coaching. I'm sorry. So if Vance Joseph can't get it together – and come up with schemes against the team that you know you're playing against. If you can't scheme against the team you're playing against, you don't need to be in the coaching.
Okay, so I see it a little differently, though. I really, truly do. I think the defense was terrible. I really do think the defense is bad. And I think it has to do with players and coaching. But here's my issue.
Yeah.
You have a team that you're within 10 going into the fourth quarter. You also have a team that put up 14 points in the second quarter, and then another quick 7 in the third. At what point do you say, let's keep them off the field? Let's run this ball
right.
A little bit. Christian
True.
McCaffrey ran the ball more individually than the Cardinals did as a team. And at some point, and I go back to watching KC versus Baltimore. And KC won the game, yes, but Baltimore controlled time of possession. And they basically said, if we lose, it's going to be because that dude over there is just so dynamic, he's just going to beat us. But we're not going to give him 12 opportunities, 12, 13, 14 drives to do it. We're going to limit the amount of times he touched the ball. If this team is hot, maybe you don't let your rookie quarterback, who would only average 4 yards a pass attempt, throw the ball 43 times for 173 yards. You've got to make a commitment to run.
Let me cut in there real quick. I know exactly what you're saying, and I get that. I know you're part of that whole group that's saying the offense, we throw the ball too much, we don't run the ball too much, a lot. I get that. But you know what? Every single football game takes on its own identity. When that game started, the way they started on offense, you got to remember, Carolina's defense was already game planning to not let our receivers get behind them. So everything was going to be short passes anyway. So that was mostly your running game. And then you've got Kyler Murray finally use his legs early. 69 yards running. There's your running game. There's the dynamic we've been missing. We've been missing that dynamic with Murray being able to run. Then you add Davis running with it. Now you got a whole dynamic that makes that offense lethal. Early in that game, it was going to be a flow to it to where, okay, yeah, the offense was picking up first downs. They were 9 of 15 on third down. They were moving the ball, and they were moving the ball with a short pass and Kyler running. That was Carolina's defense started to back up a little because they kept seeing Murray starting to run. Now it's like, uh-oh, we got to account for this guy now. Okay, if the defense gets you 2-3 stops in that game, now you can go to your running game and start pounding the ball more. But if the game gets out of hand, it changes. It changes now that we have to get from behind and we have to continue to throw the ball, and now they know what we're doing because we're 15 points behind now. The whole game takes on a whole new thing if that defense comes to play in that game. I can't put it on anything else but that defense.
Oh, listen, I'm not dying in defense dunk. Believe me, I'm with you on that. Maybe I'm old, and I'm the Kerry Lacula line, the one, the only Earl Burnett. But maybe I'm old, and I'll give you I'm old. I just believe that when you see that your offense or your defense isn't able to do a lot, because I'm talking about when the game when Zane Gonzalez kicked that 47 yarder. And got it to 21-20. You saw your defense wasn't up to par at that point. And then they gave up
right.
that 76-yard run to Christian McCaffrey.
That was a backbreaker.
But at that point, you're going into the third quarter, and it's only 28-20. In all honesty, that's one possession. At some point, your coach has to say, our defense doesn't have it today. I know what the game plan is. Let me audible and let me try to control this clock a little bit to help keep the defense off the field. Because when you're looking at the Carolina scores, it was score quick, long run. Then they come out, offense does nothing. They get the ball right back, and then they march down, and they score right back again. So it's like if you just gave them a break, let them gather themselves.
If you can't pick up 5 yards, 4.5, 5 yards per carry, trying to run the ball is going to keep your defense back on the field 3 and out. Because the way we were running the ball, David was getting 2 yards here, 3 yards there. He was not. Our offensive line has not been that well at opening up the hole for him to begin with. So all of a sudden, now you have a way you have to create your own running game. And when you talk about a running game, you're talking about first down, first or even second down, running the ball and picking up half of that 10 yards to make that third down more manageable and more you have more options on third down. They were doing that with the short game. The short game was replacing their running game. It's pretty much the same thing. It's no different. A quick stop. 5 yards, boom. You got a quick 5 yard. That's your running game because we didn't have an offensive line to open up holes. So if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, he did his job. He did the right thing. Yeah, everybody wants to see us run, but if you can't get a hole to open up for a running back that's now running okay now, he looks like he's running a little bit harder, and he still can't find the hole. The holes are not there. The offensive line has not performed up to par yet, and they're still learning as they're going. This whole thing is a learning process. I get that, but we got Kingsbury. He is going with what he has to go with right now because that's what we have. And that's what the problems we're having on this team from offensive line to defensive line. All these problems missing Patrick Peterson, Robert, all the things that have gone wrong up to this point, he has done a masterful job, in my opinion, handling it how he can handle it. At the same time, remember this, at the same time, getting Kyler Murray more reps and more understanding and more how to use this offense and what to do with this offense. I think that's been the whole thing the whole time, is getting that quarterback up to par. Once he gets to the point where he got this thing down, ace, then you'll start seeing his offense open up even more. Like you did yesterday, you saw him open up running a little bit more. Because the last two games, he was too conscious not taking that wide open space that's out there. Now he opens up and starts taking that space and getting out of bounds and getting down, sliding. Get rid of the ball a lot more because he took too many sacks in that game. But that was where the game was at the time. The defense was peeling their ears back coming after him. So the ball game took on a whole dynamic because of the fact the defense could not get one stop crucial in the game. That right there was it, man. When you can't get a crucial stop in a game, it don't matter what game plan you run. You're not going to hang in that game. And so they had that to deal with. And the part that gets to me that really makes me think hard, like what is going on, is you got into halftime and you made absolutely no adjustment to it. That scares me.
What's this offense called? The run and shoot? The shuck and duck?
Air
what is it called again?
Air raid.
Air raid.
It's called air raid.
Yeah. Well, you know what the air raid does?
It's the same damn thing.
Shuck and duck, man, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
I still say if you can't, there's two things, and I don't care how flashy the NFL gets. When playoffs start, if you make the playoffs, if you can't run and you can't defend, you can't continue. And if you don't have those habits built up when you get there, it's not a switch you can turn on. And so I'm looking, and I'm going to go back to this, because me and you, we had a disagreement. I looked at the schedule with you. I counted. I said it was like playing spades. I see three books in my hand. I'm going board, maybe four. After what I've seen with this defense and that offensive line,
right,
I'm going board. I
definitely 100% agree with what you're saying. Trust me, I'm not saying we don't need a running game. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that game yesterday took on a dynamic what it was. Going forward, period, I just believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I just believe that Kingsbury sees that Patrick Peterson, Alford, and all the defense is out. So let me go ahead and get my quarterback up to par and get the offense really rolling. So when we do get those guys back, defensively, we're going to get better. I just think he believes they're going to be better defensively. But when you see your defensive coordinator don't make the adjustment within a game to stop a hobbled tight end coming off an injury, that's really concerning. That's really concerning to me. Yeah, the offense needs to run the ball more. That's a given. But I just think that the defense should have come in and played a whole lot more with some fire. Where was the pass rush?
Not existing.
Terrell Suggs looked like he was blowing wind in the first half of the first quarter. Okay, so put Cassius Marsh in there in the starting lineup and bring Suggs in on certain spots. Because he was not able to get no push up front, and when he did get up there, he was huffing and puffing slow and can't get to the quarterback. So it's just a whole lot of and I don't know. Somebody tell me what on earth was DJ Swearinger doing on the field all game long. If you already know, how about Vance Joseph brings Hassan Reddick and you bring DJ Swearinger to the sideline and say, okay, you know what? Stop giving this guy 10-yard cushion. You want to get up in that guy's face and bump him off that line and disrupt that pattern a little bit. You want to get a little bit more physical a little bit. That'll change things in the passing game. Because if you could get that tight end bumped off his route, you give a little bit more time for the guys in the front to get their ears back and get to that quarterback. Because they were just barely making it there, and that kid was shredding. So, I don't know. It had to be some type of adjustment made. Something had to be made defensively in that game. It came down to the defense. Yeah, Kyler missed a couple of good plays, and the receivers dropped a few balls, but that was all after the fact.
I'm with you. Notice something. I didn't even text you during the game.
I know,
Usually I send you a text. I want to watch the whole thing straight through before I said a word. And
right.
Listen, if the defense isn't making adjustments, yes, that's the defensive coordinator's job to make that change. But if he's not making a change, it falls back on one person.
Yep.
One person only.
I agree.
If something went wrong with the offense last year, we blame Wilkes. So if something goes wrong with the defense this year, I don't want to blame Vance Joseph right off. I want to go right back to Kingsbury.
I agree.
And so I'm old. Like I said, I'm old, and I'm happy to be old, and I have the greatest show I'm old. And I love fantasy points when I play fantasy football. But when I watch teams that are successful, they do certain things. And I'm sorry, shuck and duck, run and shoot, mouse and goose, what did you call it again? Air raid. I'm going to get him. Yeah. By the time I learn it, he'll be fired. But by the time...
Here's the thing, though, Paul. You are 100% correct when you talk about the old offenses like the run and shoot. And who else was there? Spurrier came in and Chip Kelly came in with the offense trying to run his stuff. All that stuff was all pass heavy, like 50, 60 times a game. It's not going to last in this league. The air raid that we have not seen yet, that Kingsbury has said that his air raid is different. And what makes it different, he said, this is before he took the job, when he got the job early. He said, what makes this air raid different from the one Mike Leach created that he was running at Texas Tech? What makes it different is it's going to be a little bit more balanced with the running game. And a running game, like you're saying, I'm old school too. A running game will allow that air raid offense to sustain itself in the NFL if you have a running game. I get that. But we are in the beginning stages of this whole thing, trying to learn this thing. And everybody's missing that key cliche point. I get it. But that's reality. They are still learning this thing. And I would be more comfortable knowing my quarterback's got it down 1,000%, and he's running comfortably, and he's doing everything on instinct instead of trying to think. If he's doing that perfectly, then we'll start concentrating on balancing this thing out so it can last a few years in this league. They're in the beginning stages. It's going to start to translate and transform in before your eyes into a balanced offense. But yesterday's game didn't give him an opportunity to do anything because the defense decided to come in there and play matador. Period.
I know I've only got you for a short time, but I'll say before you jump out of here. Last year they were 0-4. This year they look like they're going to be 0-3-1. The defense last year in the preseason looked halfway decent. The offense now looks halfway decent. Why can't they get two things to match? How come they get a ham no burger? How come they got peanut butter no jelly?
That's the mystery cut. That's the mystery question, man. The defense showed up the first two weeks, kept them in a game. The offense wasn't there. Now the offense shows up, and the defense nowhere to be found. So, yeah, when is it going to be a game they put it all together? I have no idea, man. That's a good question. But it is part of that learning deal, and we'll see. I mean, I do believe they'll come back a little ticked off and play a little better on defense, and they'll play a better division matchup game with Seattle. But I don't see them beating that team. You know, Seattle coming in pissed off as well, losing at home. So they're going to come in ticked off. So, I mean, I see it's going to be a scramble run, a nice rough and tough it out type of game. But they have a tight end as well. They have Russell Wilson that'll eat that tight. They'll eat us up with that tight end if we don't screw that up. So I don't know,
and
man. Your guess is good as mine. Your guess is good as mine. Which team gonna show up, or both? Will they both show up at the same time? We'll see.
Well, I still haven't beaten the Bengals in Cincinnati, if that means anything. So
I don't know, man. Bengals can shoot out with you on offense. If you can't stop them defensively, they can shoot out with you on offense.
Yeah, they still got Andy Dalton. At the end of the day,
and
I think by that time,
by the time we played the Bengals, AJ will be back.
Oh no! We get them not after this. They play Seattle this week, the week after. So you're getting them real quick before Green gets back. Because Green is out
before
the first
gets,
6 weeks.
Okay, so Green won't be back until week.
I think he's week six. I'm not mistaken. So perfect time.
Oh, so we're week five to Bengals. Okay, I thought that was six.
Right.
Okay, my fault.
No.
Oh, you know what I'm getting mixed up with, Paul? I'm getting mixed up when P2 comes back, we playing Julio Jones.
Yeah. Yep.
So what?
And then
that's
the week
even worse.
And then a week
that's
after
even
that,
worse.
You got to go to New York. There's no Saquon, but it looks like Daniel Jones is making everybody out a liar. So we'll see how that
exactly.
turns out.
Exactly. And he got his receiver back with Shepard coming back and balled out on them. So yeah, it's going to be a haul.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough, man. I'm with you, and then I jumped from my prediction onto your train now about when do we get a win. I'm on that train, but I just want to see us perform better. I want to see us perform at the same time, defense show up, offense show up, and see what happens. Because I know this offense is going to transform to a sustainable offense in this NFL. It has to. Kyler Murray is too talented for us not to take advantage of his skill set. And David Johnson is the same way. If we can get an offensive line to get some push up front and finally get him some holes, I think that's going to, you know, help this whole thing to go a little more smoother. But who knows, man? Who knows why the hell they freed up that money and they're sitting on it right now? Who knows? Who knows?
I'll tell you what. Listen, as soon as I tell you why, you go all the way. So the Cardinals and the Bills can have more money in their pocket. Money is free. Money ain't freed up. Money is pocketed up.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's just that simple.
That's right. That's right.
Shoot.
Makes no damn sense to just free it up and pocket it. I mean, what are you doing with it?
I guess they figure, if I'm them, I've
already got inside word from the team themselves. The inside word is, they are not interested in Trent Williams. Well, you know what? You better change that dang old thought process and bust out that one-year contract as big as you can get it and put everything in them chips in that dang basket, because you have to make some type of move that would make this team relevant. You have to make some type of move that would give this team some instant star power in positions they need it. And right now, all this, oh, we're going to just get this trash heap people and try to see if they can get some lightning in a bottle and bring them in here, and all you're doing is throwing money away and wasting time. Go after the guy.
Well,
you got a chance to go get Jalen Ramsey. Go get him. But they're not going to do that, man.
No,
they're not.
What they're going to do is they're going to wait till Pittsburgh fires Mike Tomlin and get a real coach in here.
Yeah, maybe. Could be right.
I just said that out.
Well, I guarantee you this much. I guarantee you this much. If they're waiting for the real coach to get in, then they're also waiting for the real GM too. Because
Steve Kerr, this
is his last chance at this whole go around. If this thing doesn't get turned around this year and look better than what it's been looking up to this point, you cannot give that same guy to your fan base and say that he's gonna make everything better. I don't see it going past this year if he can't get this thing turned around. But
agreed.
That's how it goes.
Tell everyone where they can find you and listen and check you out and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah, man. You can find me just about anywhere on social media. Go to Instagram, go to Twitter, go to Facebook, all with the same tab, Casual Sports, KAZUAL with a Z at the end of sports. And you can also check us out on the station website at www.ksrnaz.com. where you'll find all of the latest Cardinal news on the website, and also some wonderful, wonderful shows, sports talk through the daytime. My boy here, of course, the Cave Show is on there at 3 o'clock. We got Easy Sports Talk at 8 o'clock. We got Casual Sports all throughout the day. All these great shows, JB, Benny Blue Review. Of course, that's the former Cardinal, Jeremy Bridges, has a show on the network. So check it out. www.ksrnaz.com. Go up there, subscribe, and you get all the information right in front of you. And you also want to check out the apps that you can download as well on iOS and Android. So that's where you can peep us out, man. We're always there, and we're growing by leaps and bounds, man. Appreciate it, Paul.
Yo, hey, I appreciate you having on there. It was good seeing you Saturday night, too. Finally.
Absolutely. We'll catch you in 2 weeks, man.
Oh, you know, I'll be in the house. I haven't even got into that. That's my topic.
That's another whole story.
All right, bro.
But I'm listening. I'm listening, though. But if I text you, I don't agree with you.
All right. And I don't have any more AV interventions in the rest of this show.
All right, man. Have a good one, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Right.
That is
no
the one, the only Earl Burnett, KSRN. You heard him. Get that app. Download that app. I'm telling you. Can't go wrong. We got my main man, the one, the only, Tony Capobianco, the Cuban Cowboy. We're going to get him in here right now. 15 seconds away from Tony Capobianco, Cuban Cowboy. Let's do it.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line right now, the one, the only, my man. Thank you for your patience. Cuban Cowboy, Tony Capobianco, who is actually local. What up, bro?
I'm at the Arizona State campus, and it's dark, cloudy, and it's about to rain.
Well,
this whole Sun Devil thing is false advertising.
Well, we're going to have some sound from you, obviously, that you captured, so I appreciate that today on the press conference held by head coach Herm Edwards, along with Danny Gonzalez, and Mike and the OC and DC as well. Tony, what's... I wasn't there today, but you were, which means that we were in the house. What was the vibe? What was Herm kind of talking about following the ASU 34-30 loss this weekend to Colorado?
It was story time with Herm Edwards. It's funny because this is like the second press conference I've been to since he's been hired. I was there last year for San Diego State Week. Every time I go to a press conference, he's talking about coming back home or going to a place he used to either play or live in. Cal was actually his first school he attended. And he was telling a story that Tony Dungy visited the campus for the first time. And they called him back and goes, "Now I know why you're crazy. Now it all makes sense because you've been here."
Yeah, Herm has a bunch of stories. Was he?
That's first in my entire memory card.
He never gets too high, and he never gets too low. But was there anything he pointed out in his opinion, or even any of the OC or DC? Was there anything that they pointed out that kind of stood out to you as to the performance Saturday against Colorado?
Well, when you talk about he doesn't get down here or up here, he was saying that he moves on when they win. And when they lose, it's a little bit harder, and he asks himself, did I do anything to cause this, or try to fix this, or do this? The OC was happily talking, almost and the defensive coordinator was talking more about needing to be aggressive and what the short week does, how much can be done in a certain day, how going on the road is good for the defense because they get a quiet crowd that wants to work with, and that's the home offense. So it's almost like it just felt like an hour and a half of just casual but deep dive into the stuff that was going on last week and going into this week.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Tony Capobianco, the Cuban Cowboy. Touch a little bit on ASU. Hey, Tony, there is one question I do want to ask you. It has nothing to do with football whatsoever. The Marlins brought back Don Mattingly and signed him to a 2-year extension. I know that's a team that you cover. What are your thoughts on that?
The best news all month. They didn't only bring him back, but they also re-sign Miguel Rojas, their shortstop, and who's grown into being like the leader of the team. They've always projected that like 2020 or 2021 was going to be the year that this team would pop and become a playoff caliber team. So it was good to see both Rojas and Manley be there long enough to see that vision play out. Even though the team has lost the game, finishing was like probably the number three or four draft pick again, the players really respected and received Don Manley well, and has been able to and never quit. I think that's what usually happens when a manager gets fired. The team tunes them out and quits on them, but it never felt that way with Don in charge. So it was good to see him still be around.
And then switching, I want to get a couple quick in before I have to let you go. I watched the Miami Dolphins a little bit yesterday play the Cowboys. And for the first half, honestly, they played them really tough. Rosen didn't look great in the first half, but he didn't look bad in the first half. And they played tough defense, good hard defense. And then halftime came about, somebody got cussed out in the Dallas locker room, and then they promptly came out and put up 21 second half points and put the game away and covered that spread too, which is funny. But when I'm looking at this team, offensively, I don't know who they are. And it's a team that you cover. I see Kenyon Drake get the ball 12 times, Kalen Ballage get it 8. You got a couple rushes by Rosen, which I never would have seen. What are they? Are they trying? Rosen put the ball up 39 times. They don't really have any receivers. Offensively, what is Brian Flores? What's his? I guess you use deep dive in your assessment of ASU, so I'm going to use another corporate term. What's his POV? What's his point of view for this offense? What exactly is he trying to do?
Something. Anything. Not look terrible. This is by far the worst. You think the Cardinals' offensive line is bad. This right here is the worst offensive line in all of football. And the only reason why Rosen is starting over Fitzpatrick now is because at least Rosen can move a little bit and actually turn some positive yardage out of the dumpster fire. Like, it doesn't matter who they have at running back. They're going to get stuffed. Apparently, it doesn't matter who's the receiver because they're going to drop a pass. This is what a tanking team perfected looks like. And there's nothing anyone can do to make any moves. But eventually, something's got to give because once they're done playing the Chargers and they got to take on the Jets, the Redskins, the Browns, something should be alleviated by that, but this is just nothing. There's nothing to look at here. This is just can Rosen throw to receivers who would otherwise not drop the ball? That's really what you're looking at when it comes to offense.
Tony, I'm looking at this league right now, at the NFL, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Winless teams, and you have five of those teams in the AFC. Five of those teams are 0-3. And the NFC, if Washington loses to Chicago tonight, they fall to 0-3. The Cardinals are 0-2-1. And I keep hearing Miami and they're tanking. But when I look at some of these other squads that are bad, they're just bad. They're not tanking per se to be bad, but they're just bad. And Pittsburgh is a bad team. Dolphins are a bad team. Jets are a bad team. Broncos, as long as Flacco is there, is a bad team. And I honestly believe Washington is a bad team. What if all this tanking is for naught and you sneak out a victory or two and one of these other teams don't, or they only end up winning one game, or it's you beat a team that you shouldn't beat, and then now you have the tiebreaker for the better record. Tanking is a tough thing to do. What is the – is it just the – we want the first pick as long as we get the first two or three? Because there's a lot of bad teams in the NFL right now.
Yeah, they're not this bad. Like, the Dolphins in three games have scored a grand total of 16 points.
Very
and I
true.
Think they've given up over 100 right now.
Only 133.
Now, if they, if you combine the first half against the Patriots, the first half against the Cowboys, you would have thought this would be the best defense in the league. But the defense might be improving a little bit, but who knows if another player gets traded for a first-round pick. I think that's the thing that why I think the fans are aligned with this tanking idea is they're going to go into this offseason with $160 million in cap space and three first-round picks and two second-round picks. Like, they're going to get the guy that everyone wants if they're in position, and they're going to have a brand-new team to work with, a new offensive line, some skill position players, both defense and offense. They're going to look totally different next year. And that's the only reason why this tanking thing is tolerable. Because this turn took a 3-year rebuild process. I think everyone would get fired by week 5 next year. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I know those other teams are bad, but they're not getting doors blown off them week after week bad. They're not. Not only do you bet the other team to clear the point spread, but you bet the over on top of that bad. Although, it would be a sad twist of fate that if they do get the one win, that they beat the Jets, and the Jets end up with the number one overall pick. But that might also
That's
be a good
I'm
thing,
saying.
Because the Redskins are not going to draft another quarterback. They already got their guy. If somehow the Jets do it, they're not going to draft another quarterback because they still believe in Sam Darnold. All we want is Tua Tagovailoa. It doesn't matter who these teams end up getting the first overall pick over us, as long as we get the quarterback.
I hear you, my man. Well, listen, tell everyone where they can find you on social media and everything else.
I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Tony Capobianco. You can find some of my videos there as well. I'll probably post a video or two on the Sportscape website. You can find my Miami work when I get back there on 5ReasonSports.com.
And we are live together on Thursday, correct?
So long as the Uber shows up. And
We'll be unflooded by then. So we'll be good. So, yo, man, I appreciate you. We'll catch up.
All right, I appreciate you too. See you later.
All right, buddy. The one, the only Tony Capobianco trying to stay dry in Arizona. You don't hear that very often. Let's pay a couple bills. Let's wrap this thing up.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
So there were some other notes I wanted to get into. I do want to talk a little bit about the game tonight in the limited time we have. You know I'm going to be watching. Everyone knows I'm a Bears fan. I make no secrets about that. Do I think the Bears are going to win tonight? Yes. I also say, and I wish I would have done this, and one of the leagues I have Mitchell Trubisky in, I do believe this is a night where he has one of those games. He's good for four of them. I believe this is one of them, and I do believe the Bears win tonight. I also think David Montgomery has a good game tonight on the road, and I expect that defense to come up really big against Washington. I do see a Bears victory. I think the score will be somewhere on the range 24-13. I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I also don't think it'll be a close game. I've given all these predictions. I'm hoping that I'm right. I am not Miss Cleo or Mr. Cleo, so we'll see. Some quick notes I want to get to before we have to get up out of here. Cam Newton is out. He will be ruled out again for next week's game. It's amazing what a victory will do. I'm not talking about Cam on Monday. I'm not talking about Cam on Tuesday. I'm not talking about Cam on Wednesday. I'm going to walk out of his press conference on Thursday. I'm not talking about Cam. All of a sudden, Cam gets ruled out. It's almost like they didn't want to say he was going to be ruled out. Kyle Allen steps up, has an incredible game against the Cardinals, leads them to victory. Now because you have that victory in your pocket, and you know that you want to get another quick look at Kyle Allen, you have no problems with ruling Cam out now on a Monday, but probably before you even landed, as they host the Texans. Excuse me, let me rephrase that. As they go on a road to the Texans. Believe me, if the doors would have been blown out for Carolina against the Cardinals, it would have been like, let's wait and see, let's wait and see, let's wait and see, let's wait and see. You don't have to let's wait and see. Cam's out. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. The NFL is slowly starting to move into their next phase of great QBs, or rather young QBs. And that's something I'll get into a little bit later when we have a little bit more time. But Cam is out. Daniel Jones, like I said, look, he did throw a couple picks, but that kid moved and he made plays that Eli would not have made. Daniel Jones makes a liar out of everybody. And I think here's the thing. I don't think anyone ever said, and I'm not walking it back. I hate walking it back. Walking it back just means you're wrong and you lied. And I had a problem admitting that I was wrong on Daniel Jones. But a couple things I want to say real quick. One game. And, again, didn't say the guy shouldn't have been drafted. I just don't believe he should have been drafted where he was drafted. So let's get that all straight. But he balled out. Let's see what he has next week. Saquon out 4 to 8 weeks. When they give that range, and I spoke to someone this morning, and they told me when they give a 4 to 8 week range, it's probably close to 6 to 8. They just don't want to say that. That's like me telling you, hey, what time are you coming over? I should be there sometime. Oh, not me. You ever get a cable installed or your internet installed? We have a window for you. It's from 4 to 9. And it's always closer to 9. Unless you get that first appointment, it's always closer to 9. Jalen Ramsey, he was struggling from a case of anal glaucoma today. And if you don't know what that means, he didn't see his ass coming in to work for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, here's what's funny. He wants out. And all the old football heads, oh, these guys now, they think this is the NBA, yada, yada, yada. I've never seen a league where guys get maimed more, hurt more, hips replaced, knees replaced, bad ankles, bad everything. And when a guy says he doesn't want to be in that situation, he doesn't want to appear like he's quitting on his team. The Jacksonville Jaguars quit on them when they thought Blake Bortles could be a quarterback. Anyway, I'll get more into that tomorrow as well. ASU lost. More on that tomorrow as well. Show flies, man. This show just flies. Big up thanks to the one, the only Earl Burnett, Casual Sports Radio Network. Casual Sports Talk. Listen, you gotta check it out. I'm telling you right now. You can also hear this show there every day, 3 o'clock. Great replay. Tony Capobianco, the Cuban Cowboy, thank you for joining us. Well, thank you very much for that ASU press conference today. He'll be live with me on Thursday from Maduro's 5 Cigar and Tobacco. All calls made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thank you. Don't forget, every Thursday it's Cigars with the Cave Show. Make sure you get out there and check us out live. Social media, the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at the Sports Cave, Caves with the K. SportsCave.com is our website. Again, Caves with the K. And you can get me on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We had a loaded show today. We'll have another loaded show for you tomorrow. This has been the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Monday Night Football tonight. Check it out. Everyone, enjoy the rest of your day, the rest of your night. Go Bears.